Chodesh Tov.
Chodesh Tov, everybody. This is very hard, what he's talking about here. What should I say? He's saying here that, and this is kind of going with the philosophy that you, that the Nefesh HaChayim has been going with the whole time and what tefillah is. We are not supposed to be thinking about and trying to be mechaven. Yeah, come in. I think they're here. Come in.
Oh, are you using this, huh?
Yes, sir. What?
Can you use it?
I think so.
Till 9 o'clock, whatever? Yeah.
So we're not supposed to try to be mechaven the you know, the kavanas of the Arizal and all these things. We're not trying to figure things out and have extra special deep kavanas in the tefillah. All we're supposed to do is think about the words themselves. Why? Because no matter how much you think that you're going to know, you're really not going to know anything. And you have to allow the koch of the words themselves to carry your neshama up to Shemayim. It's imagine you're on this powerhouse, the word, and the word is going to carry your neshama up to Shemayim. The word. Okay, now, how's that going to work? The way that's going to work is like this. And this is kind of what he's trying to do here. It's explained to us how this works. And what he said yesterday is that every word is made up of three parts, and each one of those parts is there connected to part of our neshama. There's the letter. But if you have a letter by itself, then the letter by itself is not even a spoken letter. You have the letter bays. Is it ba? How did you pronounce it without a vowel? Is it b, boo, ba, bay, be, right? Ba, you're not sure what it's saying. So it only exists on its own. If you don't have vowels, you don't have nekudas, then you can't use it to say anything. Okay? So therefore, the ois itself is connected to the nefesh of the person, the most physical part that doesn't really accomplish anything. The ruach is the emotional part, is the in-between. It's where there's a level of dibor, and that's with the nekuda. And then there's the ta'amim, is how you pronounce the word. Is how do you, you know, the emphasis, the you know, the how you pronounce it. So and that is connected to neshama. Now he goes on a little further and he says that really there's a fourth part to the neshama. There's nefesh, ruach, neshama. There's really a fourth part, and the fourth part of the neshama is called chaya. And that part is really miskadosh through the tzirif of the oisius, is through the words. The word is now really does more than the sum of its parts. So the word is a bunch of letters, but really it's a word now that can accomplish a lot. Okay? So here's the mashal. Okay? The mashal is that letters in Lashon HaKodesh are not stam. Letters, words in Lashon Kodesh are not stam words which describe a reality. The words themselves kind of create the reality. And that's what we say, that Hashem created the world with the Aleph Beis. What that means is like this. If you have two atoms of hydrogen, it's very nice, hydrogen is a nice thing. And then you have one oxygen, it's also a nice thing. But now you have H2O, all of a sudden you have water. But how'd you get water? The answer is that putting them together creates something. There is a physical reality, apparently, according to what he's saying here, in each letter. Each letter has in it some sort of physical reality. And when we say the letter, and we say it with the right nekuda, and then we say it with the right pronunciation, and then we say the word, we are actually connecting to that koach in the bria that word represents. And each word represents something in the Bria. Like it says in Rishonim, really say that there's a big difference between English or any other language versus Lashon HaKodesh. English, there's no real reason why this is called a table, this is called a book, and that's called a wall. That's just what is the word which is used, and everyone agrees that word will describe this reality. But in Lashon HaKodesh, it's not that way. In Lashon HaKodesh,
Right, the letters have the letters have values also.
The letter first has value, and in Lashon Kodesh there's a koach in each letter. So when Adam Arishon named a lion in Aryeh, it's not just because he said, hey, he picked it out of a hat and said, hey, you know, sounds has a good ring to it. That's not the pshat. The reason why it's called Aryeh is because he looked into the creation and he says, this was created with the koach of an aleph. This is the combination of the koach of an aleph with a pasach, a resh, a yud with a tzere, and a hey. This combination of forces, when Hashem puts that together in a spiritual sense, that manifests itself as a lion in the physical world. And therefore, the opposite is true as well. Therefore, when... Okay, so therefore, now, when we go back and see the lion, we know now what spiritual forces it has, because Adam Arishon revealed that to us by giving it a name. And this is obviously why the halacha is that if, let's say, if a person davens in any other language, they're not yotze if they don't understand the language, because they didn't say anything. If you understand the language, then you could use the language to express the concept. But otherwise, you didn't say anything. If you don't understand the language that you're saying, then you didn't say anything. In Lashon Kodesh, it's not that way. If you said the words in your yotze, even if you don't understand the language, because it's regardless of your understanding, the words mean what they mean. The words don't mean it because you understand it or because the whole world decided that that's what it means. The word means that because it means that. It actually means it. Whereas the in every other language, it only means it because everyone else, because we, when you want to express this concept, you use that term to express the concept, okay? So in other words, this thing that he's telling us is the reason why when a person davens, they don't need to, it's kind of, he's like almost limiting the importance of the kavana, as far as kavana meaning the actual definition of the words, he's kind of limiting that part of the kavana, and he's saying as long as you connect with the word, let the word do what it can do without you. You don't have to direct the word. The word means what it means.
How do you connect with the word? Just by saying it, or you have to understand what you're saying?
So I think that l'chaira, you have to understand the basic translation. Okay. Not have to. You don't have to. You don't have to. But you can. Okay. You know, and that's enough. Okay. So as a matter of fact, it may not be a good idea to learn every mefarish on the sitter and then try to use that in your tefillah. It's good to do it because it gives you more ability to connect, but you shouldn't be trying to think while you're davening about all those things, because then you get confused. So the way you connect is by remembering what he said before. If the Anshe Knesset HaGdola put an infinite amount of power into the words themselves, and essentially the words themselves are so powerful that regardless of your kavanah, if you connect with the words carry within it there. And the word itself, using all the elements of the word, is now misakin the whole neshama of the person on all fronts, okay? So this is really the depth of actual tefillah. Now you understand why this, you know, the whole thing is really coming in the context of what we're talking, which is that the power is the word, you know, we're here to misakin the neshama, and the words, each word is an expression of a concept, and as we concentrate on that word, we can now be misakin that concept in Shemayim. There's a famous story that, based on this, Nav Chaim, I think we can appreciate the story even better. That you know, back in those days, many people couldn't read, especially women, were not trained in reading. You know, they knew what they knew, and that was it. So there was one time when a big tzaddik went to shul early, and he found a child or something, a child, a yasam, couldn't read. And he found him, and he's sitting behind the oven, you know, behind the heater. So he asks him, child, what are you doing behind the heater? He says, I have a sitter. said, oh, can I hear you daven? So child says, I don't know how to daven. So you don't know how to daven? But you just told me you're davening. So he says, the child says, I don't know how to daven, but I know the Aleph Beis. So I say over the Aleph Beis a lot of times, and I say to Hashem, can you put the letters together in the way that makes the most sense for me? Because I don't know how to put them together. You know better than I do. That was the story. So the concept being, you know, so it's a cute story, and you know, he has a lot of kavana, and he asks Hashem for it. You know, it's a cute story. But the truth of the matter is that according to this, it's much more than a cute story. There's actually meaning to it. There's what he's saying is that really the whole purpose of tefillah is to put together the letters, is to put together the letters into words and create something which is a powerful tool that the word itself, when it's said, can break through Shemayim. And that's really our avoda, is to put together these words, put together the tefillah in a way that our tefillah will carry us. So if I would have to define the avoda tefillah, the avoda is to realize the power of the tefillah, realize every word that we say in tefillah is significant, and that every, you know, it's just a full concept of allowing of connecting to tefillah in a way that we really our neshamas themselves are connected to it. I think maybe we'll have one more share, something like this on Shaar Beis, but I think this is pretty much, you know, wrapping up the concept of Shaar Beis. I think, you know, we may not fully understand, and we definitely do not fully understand the full gamut of, you know, what is the tefillah in the Nefesh HaChaim. But I think he definitely opens up our eyes to, it's definitely a lot more than we think it is. It's definitely not just coming to Hashem with a shopping list and saying, hey, listen, I had a bad day today. Can you fix it up for me? Tefillah is an avoda. Tefillah is bringing our neshama up to Shemayim. Tefillah is b'chol nafshachem, to raise our neshama, at least temporarily, to a higher place, to a place where over there, the guf doesn't even exist. Over there, all that exists is kavod shemayim. Over there, all that exists is the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Bria, and we're connecting to that in a way to say, Hashem, we realize everything is, you know, we want our neshama to connect to you in that way. That's really what avoda is. That's really the tefillah of the Nefesh HaChaim. Like I said, I don't think, you know, reaching this on a daily basis, reaching this is difficult, but I do believe that there's, you know, a tremendous limud in it, even on our level. So it's a shem, it should help raise our tefillah up, to help us daven with even more kavana. And, you know, we'll continue. Next week, we're going to learn the in-between chapters, it's called, the prakim. And what's cool about that is that he kind of summarizes the whole sefer in 4 or 5 chapters, but from a Musar perspective, from not a Kabbalistic perspective. So it's much, much more practical. It's just like, you know, buddy, you do this, you do that, you don't do that, you don't do this, and this is what you're supposed to walk away from the sefer. So for guys like us, I think that it will be good to bring it all down again. Okay? So Mr. Shem, we'll start that next week.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shkar.
Okay, Shkar, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.